Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, well, welcome to Dow 1 million. We are never, ever going down again because everybody says so. We have a market that continues to want to rip higher, and nobody wants to get in the way of it. And, of course, even the perma-bears are now starting to buy. And, of course, that's always a great sign in the market, in the world of markets, because that means that we are definitely approaching a top in this market. Now, you know, we don't fight the markets. We don't try to outguess them or outsmart them. But what we do know is that eventually the load, they get loaded up on one side, and there isn't much more room to go. Okay, so you have to, you know, understand the dynamics of a buyer and a seller. And when there's, you know, all buyers and no sellers, and then all of a sudden the buyers are exhausted and they have no room left to buy, that will typically lead to a market that will sell off. Now, again, we've got our wonderful pundits out there cheerleading the market. I think they should all put on skirts and get pom-poms as they cheerlead the markets higher and tell everybody what a great value we have here. Now, look, I'm not going to predict the market. And full disclosure, I own the market. I mean, I am not in. I'm long the market. I'm always long the market because I believe in being hedged, and that I don't have to worry about the disaster. Okay, so I get the deal and I'm long. Okay, now in my short-term trading account, now there's the investing and the trading. We talked about this before. In my short-term trading account, I'm short and I'm getting hammered. But, you know, I will continue to look for opportunities to take advantage of that side because, again, watching the markets go up is painful, and not because they're going up, because obviously usually that's a good sign, but they're grinding higher. They have crushed out all the volatility, and from a trader standpoint, when markets lack volatility, there isn't much to do. So you have to be very careful. And of course, we have been writing and stating that the sidelines is probably the best place to be, because right now, you know, if you look at the fundamentals certainly do not warrant a market at the levels of that. But now we are technical traders. But technically, you cannot possibly want to buy the market here, nor should you want to sell the market here, because we are going up at a very rapid pace. So to try to buy and chase them up is financial suicide, in my opinion. But to try to sell them here would be equally is financially suicidal, because, again, I don't know when they're going to stop. You know, it's like, you know, musical chairs. When is the music going to stop? We don't know when the stopping is going to happen. What we do know is that it will stop. But we've got our wonderful, you know, TV people, the personalities, chirping and cheerleading and, you know, talking about what a wonderful job is going on. And it's amazing how the conversation always comes back to the incompetent Federal Reserve. But they don't say that they're incompetent because they don't have the stones to say that. But we all know that the Fed is doing a rotten job. We all know that the Fed has done nothing but create bubbles for 40 years and maybe even farther back than that. But we all know that they can do things knowing that we're here. And, you know, it's an interesting stat when you start to build something with no foundation and no reality, you'll typically end up with a real mess. And I think that is what you're going to end up seeing here when it's all said and done. You know, this time is not different. You know, maybe the names have changed, but the storyline is the exact same. You cannot continue to push up markets, especially under the facts that we have nothing happening. We don't have growth. You can look all you want. You can make these numbers. Remember when they use the numbers year over year or what they're comparing to. When you compare to crap, you got crap. Okay? It's not like, you know, if we push a number up from, you know, if we are comparing it to 10 and we push it to 11, yeah, it's a 10% increase. But where is it really supposed to be? Now, if you went from 10 to 15, yes, then I could say, hey, we're seeing some here. But remember, every quarter for the last 7 years, we continue to reduce expectations. So, you know, if you're going out and if you're going on a date and you're expecting a 10, okay, and you get a 3, you're not going to be happy. But if you go out expecting a 1 and you get a 10, oh yeah, this is better. Okay, so my point is that you cannot continue to look at these markets as if we're comparing apples to apples, because we're not. We're comparing apples to oranges, potatoes, or avocados. There is no comparison here because we're comparing, again, you're comparing dog crap to dog crap. And, you know, if you want to get excited about that, you know, God bless. But, you know, look, everybody's entitled to make their own decision and look at how they want. And that doesn't make my opinion right. But from a purely statistical point of view, which is how I like to look at things, we are cruising for a bruising. Okay. And, you know, again, you'll have everybody right about what it is and what it isn't. I'm just telling you straight out. Now, the bigger issue, though, is, okay, well, when you're going to say, well, when does it we get this big, nasty sell-off? Well, I don't know. You know, look, one thing we know with certainty is as long as the sentiment or the supposed sentiment is bearish, it's probably not going to come. Because, you know, the masses are never right. But we are seeing a shift of people moving into markets. We are seeing a shift of people doing things that are uncharacteristic. We are seeing a overload of margin and leverage being used by people that don't have the money, the wherewithal, or the personalities to hang in there. Now, remember, this is a big thing. This is emotions, as we know, are the biggest driver of markets overall. Emotionally, the people that are jumping in now will be out as fast as you can say howdy doody, because at the end of the day, they cannot absorb the pressure of the markets when they start putting it on you. And that becomes a bigger problem, because what we're going to see is the exodus. And when it happens, it's going to happen fast. Now, remember, there's plenty of opportunity to act. We don't have to be early. We don't have to be in now. We don't have to be ready today. Why? Because the markets will give you time. You know, this is one thing this is another one of the, what we would call the market drivers. Markets will give you time to get in. They will give you an opportunity to make that trade when you're ready. Because at the end of the day, markets go up and down. Okay, and they churn. And when we get volatility, they really swing up and down. So don't be in a rush. My advice is to sit back, relax, and observe the market and wait for the opportunities, and we'll be on them when they come out. But in the meantime, join my friends Scott Connor and Kevin Hinks over at Thinkorswim as they educate new traders. Okay, they do a great job over there with their swim lessons, and they're every day, and make sure you check it out. I think it'd be great for you, and it's a good experience. And other than that, you know, the Bubba Show is every day is at libertytalk.fm on demand. As I've been saying, we are now over 200,000 downloads a month, looking to get to 3. I need your help. At the same time, I need you to follow me on Twitter at Bubba Average Joe. I need you to go like my Facebook page at The Bubba Show. And in the meantime, I'm going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'll be back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, I don't know. I really get frustrated, and I'm really pissed off. What else is new, right? Mr. Bitch. That's my dad. I used to work on the truck with him down in the meat markets. My dad was a peddler. In those days you wore helmets, almost like batter's helmets in baseball, and they had your name on it or whatever. And on my dad's, they had the bitch. Well, I had to take over for my dad since he passed 7 years ago, so I'm the new bitch in town. And I got to tell you, I am so angry with the Federal Reserve, with the world leaders. Did you see the new tax scam that's now out with all these world leaders stealing the money? Now, let's talk about this for a minute. And you can, you know, make your own judgment. I've become a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. And, you know, I guess that's when you watch enough garbage going on, and you watch enough incompetence by the people that are supposed to know the answers, and you watch enough dumb things happen, you know, you go, maybe it is a conspiracy. And of course, we talked about this a little bit, but, you know, Janet Yellen calls Mario Draghi and calls the Bank of England. And, you know, it is my understanding that they talk all the time. And why are they talking all the time? That's my first question. What do they have to talk about? Are they arranging cocktails? Are they going out for a date, or what the hell are they talking about? Okay. Well, of course, we know what they're talking about. They're talking about how they can screw the citizens, the middle class of all of them. Because, you know, one of the things we don't understand, and when the Fed was put into act in 1913, okay, it was helped along by England, okay, who's had a central banking since the 1600s, stealing from their people all along, okay, because what do central banks actually do, and what are they supposed to do? Well, they're supposed to be the lender of last resort, okay, which is fine, okay. However, not only are they supposed to be the lender of last resort, but they're supposed to watch the monetary policy and take care of it. But what they really are doing is they're flooding the markets with more cash, devaluing the currency that you hold in your hand today, making it worth less at every moment, okay? Because it is a fiat currency, which is just artificial error based on value. And you've heard people talk about free floating. Well, free floating my ass. It's a free float into what they want to make it look like. But I think the bigger problem is that what we get out of it is we get to pay all the bad debts. Now, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but, you know, when banks lend out huge sums of money, they're looking just to collect the interest payment. You know, that's their income, so to speak. And what we don't know is that the government, who is not supposed to be directly involved in all this, but the Congress is involved in the Fed in their own little way, we are backing up these loans. So when they go out and make a bad loan for billions of dollars to some small nation, okay, and they keep trying to renegotiate, well, guess who pays the penalty when that loan defaults? Raise your hand, look in the mirror. You're the one who's helping pay for it. Now, to me, I'm pretty damn sick of all this overtaxation of what we have to do and all the compliance issues go along with all this. Now, I want to know, where is the compliance? Where is the SEC? You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again, that Bernie Madoff had help in what he did. Somebody from a agency, and I would have to guess the SEC, I don't know this for a fact, had to be involved. Why? Because there's no way that nobody knew what the hell he was doing. It's an impossibility. You have to say, if you remember the movie Casino, okay, and you looked at the lefty, Mr. Rothschild, and he went in, and his slot machine manager had three jackpots hit, and he said to him, either you're too dumb to know it or you're in on it. Either way, you're out. And again, that's where we should be. Okay, either they're too dumb to know, or they were in on it. Which is it? Now, I cannot imagine that they were too dumb to know. Okay, I guess I could imagine it, but I can't fathom that somebody would be too dumb to recognize that. That was something that my high school students would have recognized immediately had they seen what the hell was going on there. That was the easiest thing ever to know that it, what Bernie Madoff was saying was impossible. So here we are once again, getting the opportunity to watch our security officers and watch our people that are watching over us put their hands in both of our pockets. Okay. And unfortunately, they don't have alligator arms. They got deep arms and they go into your pockets because they're not going in theirs. When it comes to going in their own pockets, they got alligator arms or their pockets are sewed up. But here they got us. So they're going to do and gamble all they want on bad paper and bad everything because they're not exposed. We are. They'll print more money. They'll do whatever it takes as long as it doesn't affect them. And I believe that to be even a bigger problem. And that is another thing that's got my ire up, is watching how these people try to then explain it. Okay? They're two-faced, double-talking people that have no interest in the common good, okay? Nor do they have any interest in making things better. Because if they wanted to make things better, they had every opportunity to make the economy better. But they chose not to. They chose to line the pockets of the rich and continue to entitle the people that don't want to work and stick it to the middle class again for the 1 millionth time. And when are we, the middle class, going to smarten up and say, hey, it's enough of that stealing from me. It's enough of grabbing in my pockets. Let's get to work here and go after it. Now, you know, you can look at it any way you want, but again, check the numbers, check the math. You don't have to take my word for it, okay? Just remember that when the banks were too big to fail in 08, well, why didn't they stop them from lending in 2006? What, they couldn't see that they were over-lending, that you were loaning every schmuck on the street money, no matter who they were? Walk into a bank, oh, I need, you know, $50,000. Okay, here you go. Here's $50,000. Now, to me, okay, you know, look, everybody makes bad trades, makes bad mistakes. I've made many a bad trade, okay? I'm not saying that you don't make bad trades. You don't make bad loans. You cannot avoid it. However, at some point, you have to recognize that something is not right. Something smells funny. You know the old story, if it smells like it and looks like it, it probably is, right? So at some point, instead of waiting until the markets collapsed, okay, shouldn't they have said, hey, you can't lend anymore. Now you can't borrow money because they got so many damn regulations. It's ridiculous what goes on now here in all the compliance and in all these regulations. They're killing small business. They're killing the American farmer. Okay. Why? Because you can't borrow any money. People need money. This is the system works on the flow of money, the velocity of money moving back and forth. But now with all the stupid regulations, you cannot borrow money. And that becomes a bigger problem. And when does this problem go away? Okay, well, it isn't going to go away until we step up and say enough. It's got to be enough. You cannot let these people continue to get away with it. It's unfathomable the way that we just ignore and think that it's okay that our politicians, our Fed, and everybody just think it's okay to rip off the American middle class. Now, if you're happy with that, then, you know, keep doing the things the way you're doing. But I got news for you. I ain't happy with it. And you know, for me, it isn't as big a deal because, you know, I'm at the end. I'm at the back quarter stretch, right? I ain't got much time to go overall in comparison, but certainly my kids and my grandchildren, it's that certainly bothers me for them. And it's certainly very worrisome as we continue to go forward here that you're going to have these idiots in charge pushing around and making this country broke. Okay. I mean, that is the bigger problem because all they know how to do is, well, we're out of money. We need to print some more. Let's go into a basement and get up that counterfeiting printing press. And there's other things which we'll talk about next. But, you know, there's a lot going on. And the truth is, none of it's good. That's the bottom line. But the bottom line for today is this is the Bubba Show. I want you to go to libertytalk.fm and download the podcast version of the Bubba Show. because we now have over 200,000 people downloading it on a monthly basis. And I want to get to 3. I want you to follow me at Twitter at Bubba Average Joe. I want you to go to Facebook and like my Facebook page, The Bubba Show. And then I want you to go get a cup of coffee, come back. This is Todd Bubba Horvitz. Just step out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break with my guy, Mike McClung, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horvitz.
He's so delicious, yes.
Trust. For nearly 4 decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. It's time for the one, the only, the extremely talented Mike McClone. What's up, Mr. McClone?
Hey, Todd. Well, thanks for having me back. Well, what's up lately, as we both see, the stock market just keeps going.
You're always welcome back, even with your gloom. And, no, I'm just kidding. You're always welcome. Listen, you're my A number one analyst, okay? So I give you all the credit. The market just is going to keep going up until it doesn't, and, you know, I tell you something that I have a couple concerns with, and I want to run this by you, okay? As you and I both know, the markets do run in cycles, and not only the cycles of the charts, not only the cycles of everything else, but we run in emotional cycles. And I think right now we're really just in the all-out greed cycle, and people are borrowing money to invest, you know, using margin, and they're investing money they can't afford to lose into a market they can't afford to be in, but they don't care because they're now just chasing up the market. And that's kind of what I see of what's going on. No, there's no telling how long it can last, but that's kind of what I'm seeing. What about you?
Yeah, well, I think I don't know exactly how to qualify really what's happening, other than, yes, it's going up. There's always going to be a lot of significant reasons for it to be going up. But if we look at the year to date in the bigger picture, to me, that's the most important thing to keep our heads on straight and not get too excited about buying on the way up and selling on the way down. And that is year to date. If I look at things like the TLT, the bond market, that's up almost 10%. Gold's up 16%. And by the way, the SPY, we've had this awesome rally, but year to date, you know, going through 25% of the year, it's up only 1%. And I think this latest rally is, yes, very impressive. I mean, it'd be wonderful if this lasts for a few more years, but, you know, I think we both agree it's probably running on fumes.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind it's running on fumes, but of course, the only good thing John Maynard Keynes ever said was that the markets can remain irrational longer than you and I can remain solvent. Okay.
Everything else he said ain't worth
a crap. But that is one thing he's correct on.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, well, it's definitely, he said a lot of, I mean, I'm a big fan of Keynesian economics and prime the pump and everything, but that's certainly one thing that he quoted. And he also was, you know, one thing about Keynes is he was also a famous speculator, and he did have a very, very difficult time in the FX markets for a while, and actually even there's stories about him storing some of his grain in his basements and having issues with fungus, because you can't really store grain sometimes in a wet basement. But he had, you know, I mean, that's one key thing I think is this is potentially an irrational period. But one key thing that happened last week is Janet Yellen, the Federal Reserve, really came around to kind of things you and I have been pointing out, that they've been focused on this significant tightening rhetoric, despite the fact we've seen significant deflationary signs. And I think they finally came around to what I've been saying, is that the bond market's been saying, is this is not an environment you have to worry about inflation until bond yields start rallying. And they continued to decline, and they declined again last week. And I think the Fed came around. So at least in the short term, it's giving the stock market a boost.
Well, I mean, I think I think the 10-year is going down to probably, I said 1.5. I think it's probably going down to 1.25 now. I see no hope right now from that perspective. Okay, now there's just too many things wrong. You can start with the jobs number on Friday. I mean, it was an okay number, but you know, I don't think that a 0.3% increase in wages and 215,000 print is anything to really get excited about, especially going into the summer or construction season. I mean, I don't know. That didn't excite me. What about you?
No, not at all. One thing you have to do is look at the trend in jobs. Number one, it's a significant lagging indicator. I've been one thing I've got a lot out of was reading Ben Bernanke's book, and I've actually listened to it again this weekend a little bit when I was doing some yard work, is when they started easing back in 2006-07, the job rate was still, unemployment was still declining. It was much lower than it is now. It's a significant lagging indicator, and I think they know that. I think they're getting it. And also, if you look at the growth in jobs the last 6 months to 12 months, it's actually been declining. And we had a pickup in the in unemployment rate, but, I mean, the good news is 5% is better than 10%. The bad news is, how much better is it going to get, and how much is it really true, because we've had a bit of an artificial bubble boost this economy, and I'm afraid with that bubble going away, the good news is, I guess that Yellen said it might not be going away, at least in the short term. But we all see these trends, in sales, trends in retail sales, trends in money, trends in industrial production. They are significantly heading down, very similar to where they were right before the big flush in 2008. Now, we hope that doesn't happen. But I think the Fed's finally coming around to what we've seen and been pointing out, is this trend in economic activity is nowhere near an environment where the Fed should be aggressively tightening or thinking about tightening.
Well, I don't think there's any possible way that they could even... Listen, they're dumb enough to think about it. Now, you have to explain to me. Explain to the listeners. You're a big fan of Ben Bernanke and the Fed, and I think that the Fed is the biggest waste of breath there is. Tell me why I'm wrong. I mean, I could take it. I won't yell.
First of all, I completely respect your opinion, and you and I both know as traders, I always want to hear people disagree with me rather than people agree with me all the time. But one thing I think that they did very well with Ben Bernanke at the helm was handle the crisis, meaning this could have been really, really bad. There's so many things that they did that Ben Bernanke was just, I think, the right person at the right time to handle what could have been. We could be in a significant depression right now, and we're not. We'll never know whether that'll happen, but I thought they were the right team and the right people at the right place, and they did it very well, despite overwhelming opposition. Remember, they were accused of bailing out Bear Stearns. They shouldn't have done that. Then they're accused of doing the wrong thing for bailing out or for trying to help Lehman, which they didn't, but even trying to help AIG. And, they went to a lot of criticism to do what I think they thought was the right thing. But also, they fulfilled one of the primary roles of the Fed, and that is really to help out when the banking system, the financial system, is in severe crisis. And it was. I mean, they were really the lender of the last resort then. But the situation I'm afraid of now is they've lent so much, they ballooned their balance sheet so much, and they did so much QE, which boosted the heck out of the stock market. Is what are they going to do now? That's what I'm really fearful, is the free lunch is probably over, and what's going to happen when it comes back? Just a little bit. And we haven't seen that yet.
Well, I mean, I look at a couple of things, and I don't think they should have bailed them out, because I think we're going to have a much deeper problem coming forward. I think that since Greenspan, Bernanke, and Yellen, all they are is they're prolonging and trying to inflate the bubble, which cannot exist in the current state. We don't have enough. And in the meantime, the middle class keeps paying for all the mistakes that they make. And I think that's a problem. To me, those are major problems that are existing now. Because why? Because, well, we have the taxpayers to bail us out. So if we screw up, we'll just raise taxes. We'll just charge them some other way, because we keep paying for bad debts that we had nothing to do with. You and I, the average schmuck on the street, keeps getting the opportunity to help bail out these guys when they're the ones that caused the trouble in the first place.
Yeah, well, it's Ben Bernanke. I don't disagree with it, but I like the example he gave, which I thought was quite profound. If your neighbor's house is burning down because he smoked a cigarette in his bed, yeah, that sucks. I hope he got out of it. I hope he got out and saved. It's okay, but he knows he's not supposed to do that. But what if your house is made of wood and the wind's blowing your way and the whole town is made out of wood? You're probably better off doing whatever you can to help his house not burn down. And then in the future, you know, after you prevent that, then do something to make sure it never happens again. And I think that was one example he gave, which I have to agree with was the right thing to do. The economy was on fire and ready to collapse, and they helped save it. The problem I have is when they did QE3 and just boosted it too much. That was just going over too far.
I got to interrupt here. I can't let that go by. Okay.
Okay.
It was on fire. Well, why did they stop it? Quit loaning the money. They knew the economy was on fire. They never thought the housing market would ever collapse. They should have stopped it years before and said, hey, no more lending at these ridiculous rates.
Predatory lending was a little bit out of hand. Can't disagree. But to me, the key thing was, why are we where we are now? Okay, when the S&P dropped down to 700, then it bounced to 1,400, and then they did QE3. That's the biggest fearful thing I have, is that boosted it up above 20 to 2,100, and here we are. That's just a free lunch. Great, thanks. If you believe in a free lunch, you get aggressively long here. And if you don't, you lighten up, get out, and buy protection assets. And that's what I think investors should be focusing on, is here we are now. Thank you very much. I'm glad you saved us. But that free lunch is probably going to come back a little bit.
You didn't save us. You put us in more damage, and you've done more damage to the economy than that could ever be done by any one single human being. But anyways, that's just my opinion, my gentle, soft opinion. That you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, we could argue this obviously all day long and all night long, because I used to be on the fence, believe it or not. I was initially on the fence on that whole thing. I couldn't make up my mind. But now that I see the results of what they've done, they should have let them all burn. Okay, because they caused the problem, and you know, so there'll be a run on the bank. Then they'll have to lend the money. It'll be just like Bailey's building a loan, right? We'll have to make the loan. We'll have to make the money good. But I mean, again, I think that we got screwed. That's what I think. I think there's $4 trillion that they put into this stupid program that you and I are paying for it. That's what I see. All right. So, anyways, we're gonna get ready to step out for a break. But when we come back, I want Mike McClone. I heard something over the weekend, Mike, that Janet Yellen called Mario Draghi and the Bank of England on February 11th. Just happened to be at the bottom of the market. And I got a fundamental problem with the whole thing, how this all worked out. I'm going to talk to you about that when I come back from the break, because, you know, I love you and you're the best. You are my number one analyst. Okay. But I want to talk to you about that. But this is the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horwitz. And make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim. Every day they have swim lessons. So you go visit my buddies, Scott and Kevin, when they give the lessons. They're there to help you. Great platform. We enjoy it. It is my platform of choice. And also, if you ever miss an episode and you want to hear Bubba blood pressure go up, all you have to do is go to libertytalk.fm. We just passed 200,000. We're looking to get the 300,000 monthly downloads. So go to libertytalk.fm and get yourself as part of the team. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll be back right after the break with more from my man, Mike McClone. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz.
10 miles from town. I was proud.
After welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. After getting a little bit of blood pressure medicine, I got a doctor here just in case I go off the deep end. Because I got my main guy, Mike McClone, analyst extraordinaire and pretty smart guy. And again, one of the things that, if you don't know, Mike was a trader as well. So he's got the added benefit of understanding some of the things of where I'm coming from as well. So, Mike, February 11th, Janet Yellen called Mario Draghi, and I forgot the guy's name from the Bank of England, called them both. And just so happens on February 11th, Jamie Dimon, a partial owner of the Fed, I mean, he's not, J.P. Morgan is, okay? A partial owner of the Fed just happened to buy a measly 500,000 shares of stock at the absolute bottom of the market. I say conspiracy and bullshit. What do you say?
I don't want to go there. I don't know. It was a great buy by him for now, but I don't think his buy and hold, his time frame is 6 months. I think it's 5 years.
Okay.
And, you know, he's got to put, I mean, even if he loses that, it's not a big deal for him. I'm sure he's going to do fine. But one thing about central bankers, it's a club. It's definitely a very tight club, but they all know each other, and they all talk to each other quite a bit. That's one thing that Ben Bernanke pointed out in his book. They all talk to each other quite a bit, and they all have the major, I think, in their view, the kind of the duty of trying to help stabilize financial markets and keep them from getting too out of hand and making sure things are safe and everything. But by doing so, that to me, the biggest problem is just sometimes they can go too far, and that is the risk I think we see now. But, you know, as far as any purchase of a stock by one individual, it doesn't really help me. I don't want to comment on that.
I'm just, as a trader,
I'm always thinking the next best way to beat the market and make some money.
I will put the disclaimer. Mike McGlone had, now, he didn't even know I was going to ask that question. I kind of shell-shocked him here. But, again, I wasn't necessarily talking about just the stock. I'm talking about the whole circumstance. Why did he pick that day to buy the stock? That's really, I'm not talking about whether he made money or not, but why did he pick that day after Janet Yellen had called the other central banks? That to me is a problem, but I'm not going to put you in that position. I apologize. We will move on. So now what, Mr. McClone? We're coming into a market that they continue to rip. But in the meantime, the world markets are starting to fail. But we're, again, as they say, I guess if you want to put the cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry or whatever, does that mean that we can still see flows from other countries coming here? Because Europe's been in trouble. Japan's getting cracked. Do we still see some flow coming in here, even though you and I both think that we're very near top?
That's one of the big things that scares me. Is one thing that really happened last week is the dollar has continued to show some pretty significant weakness, despite the fact that technicals look great, the fundamentals are strong, and that's when one of the key things I've been focusing on the last few years is fade the consensus. That's a complete consensus trade that the dollar should continue to strengthen, and it's weakened. It weakened last week, and I think that's a key thing that might be turning, which leads me to be bullish on things like gold and silver. And it leads me to think that the U.S. bond market's still much more likely to drop a lot in yield and go up a lot in price. As far as flows coming here, it's still the best single country in the entire world to invest. I mean, one thing I like that Dennis Gartman points out all the time, there's just no country in the world that has 11 aircraft carrier battle groups that can back up anything we own and support our and provide security any place in the world. So the U.S., the United States, is still one of the safest places in the world, one of the best places in the world to do business. As long as we keep that, I think we're fine. But as far as things like the dollar, it's been declining versus other currencies for many years. It's had this rally for the last few years. That looks like it's turning. In addition, one way to measure the dollar is not really against other currencies, but against gold, because other currencies are paper. Gold is the quintessential currency. So that, to me, as far as flows, that could be a sign the dollar has topped. I mean, there's been some pretty significant signs of foreign money coming in, buying up some trophy assets in New York and every place else, like just the Chase Manhattan building was just bought by Chinese, among other things. I know that because I used to work there. But that's always a compliment, I think, when foreign money comes in and buys U.S. assets. I just think the key point to go here is it looks like the dollar's turned. If that's the case, the dollar has been really rallying for 2 years on the back of Fed tightening. There's a lot of things that could be shifting. It probably implies a significant bottom in the commodity market led by gold and silver. By the way, gold's still the best performing commodity this year.
Yeah, I know, and it's still a very big ratio to silver. Do you see that? You see that coming in?
Yeah, it started coming a little bit. It's back out a little bit, back out some last week. So year to date, gold's up 15%, silver's up 8%. So the ratio is just above 80. It's one of the highest levels ever. I mean, the peak was around 100, and I think was in mid 90s, and then the peak after the crisis was around 85. But that's just way too high. And so I still view silver as one of the most attractive metals. But a lot of that's going to be determined by if the dollar has topped, how much volatility you have in the market. And then I also relate to what's one of the things where I see value in markets. The VIX is at the lowest level since October 13. That's just too low. I mean, how long is it going to stay at 13? It could stay there for a while, but it's not a level you want to sell. You don't want to short there. It could stay there for a while, but it's not. It's more likely to pop up to 25 at some point. Just question, is that going to erode your time decay in the meantime?
Well, I mean, that's actually what I say. You know, people are starting to want to buy. You know, how come you're still bearish and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I want to buy. I said, look, I'm not telling you to sell. I cannot predict the top of the market. I can only tell you what I see. And I would say that we're probably, you know, we might pop a little higher. And I'm not shocked, but I'm certainly not aggressively shorting here. But certainly the one thing I'm 100% not doing is buying here. Just like I'm not selling the VIX here, I'm not buying stocks here. And again, it doesn't mean you have to do anything. You can, you know, sometimes you can just observe the market and sit on the sidelines and watch, don't you think?
And that's where we are right now. And I have to stick with the main biases. I'm willing to say sell. Now, get shorts, not another story. But certainly stocks, I still point out, I think, and I've been saying this for quite a while, that we should be underweight the U.S. stock market. It's way overdone. Now, overweight some stock markets in other parts of the world, that's a different story, especially if it looks like the dollar is, you know, who knows what to do with the dollar. But the U.S. stock market is way overdone, and the Fed is still on this tightening bias versus the rest of the world is easing. So that's kind of a key concern. But there's other places where there's value, and I still see a significant bottoming in precious metals and silver, where there's good value there. Cash is still great, and the U.S. bond market still looks terrific. So there's other things you can do, and I just don't see the value in the U.S. stock market until we need to see some determined, consistent, bearish sentiment for quite a while, and then the stock market will be time to buy. But it's just not there yet. These little spikes that are, you know, last for a month and it comes right back, that's not enough. I think you got to get people really bearish, and then it'll be time to buy again.
Oh, I agree with that. I mean, again, you always, you know, every time we have a big, like a major sell-off, I send out a notice before the market's open. Don't panic. Sit back and think it's probably a chance to buy. So, do we get an increase this year? We get one, two. Do we get any? What's your take?
Can you repeat that? Do we get what?
Do we get a rate hike this year?
Oh no, I don't think we do. And if we do get a rate hike, that's a bad thing for the stock market. Well, the only raise of rate hike's going to come is if the stock market said it's okay for the Fed to hike. Unfortunately, we're in that game. So that's part of the headwinds I still see in the stock market, and that's what I think Janet Yellen pointed out last week, is we might not be seeing that rate hike. But I'm still of the bias that the trends I see are not inflationary. In fact, they're still deflationary, and the Fed shouldn't be tightening. So I don't know about the hike. I think it's unlikely. The stock market will dictate, but the key thing to think about is investors, we pointed out earlier, that's a headwind, versus a lot of the other countries in the world that are in negative rates, and they're willing to keep cutting rates to help boost their markets and the stock market and devalue their currency. So, you know, that dream of a bunch of rate hikes in an inflation environment is just still a dream. And I think Yellen's fine to point out lately is it's more of a dream now they're finally starting to get it versus back earlier, you know, earlier last year. They pointed out all they want to do is tighten, and it just didn't happen until December.
Do you see growth coming back?
At some point, but right now the trends are really towards more economic weakness. And I'm just pointing out these significant trends I'm fearful of. And remember, the unemployment rate's a significant lagging indicator. And one thing that we have coming up that's really significant is one of the most contentious elections ever. I mean, who wants to vote for any of these candidates? I don't really get it, but it's going to be a significant drag on sentiment, I think, too. And then, by the way, the last real big correction we had was the Obama election in November 2012. Remember, back then I was really bullish. It was a great opportunity to buy. The Fed was giving you a nice tailwind. Now the Fed's a headwind. We have elections coming up. All these trends seem to have shifted. Trends meaning unemployment looks like, is it going to get much better? Auto sales, is it going to get much better? Retail sales have been declining for 4 years now and getting worse. That kind of concerns me. Industrial production is running negative.
I got to cut you short. Mike McClone, you're the man. I love you. Thank you so much. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Wake up, Maggie.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.